Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:3. Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Ephesians 5:1. Romans 12:1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service and worship. Romans 12:1. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to James chapter 3, verse 15. James chapter 3, verse 15. As we make our way through God's Word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, we've come to camp now in James 3:15, looking at the last word, demoniodes. I'm having a good time pronouncing it, demoniodes. I'm going to try to help you pronounce it. Well, that's okay. If you don't, it's all right. Demoniodes. It is a word which is translated demon-like or devil. And we have a German translation of that that's handed to me during the break. And it says, this is not the wisdom that is from above, but earthly, that's from the mind. And then the German word for the next word is devilish. And the word is also in the margin in the German, demonly. I thought you might be interested in that. We always appreciate our German translator. He comes along and gives the translation. We also have a translation from Genesis 6:4, which I thought was also interesting. In those days were there giants on the earth, and also at that time as the sons of God to the daughters of mankind went in, and they bore children. That's an interesting translation. Well, so much for that. Let's spend a moment in prayer before we begin our reading in James chapter 3 and our study on the subject of Satan. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Thank you, Father, for another wonderful opportunity to open our minds to your word. We realize that there are so many things for us to learn as we grow from day to day. Help us to utilize your truth. Help us to find ourselves victorious and triumphant in the Christian life, knowing that we cannot be successful if we're depending upon the energies of the flesh, upon ourselves. But help us not to do that, but help us to depend upon the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God. We know that the Scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if we're to have the mind of Christ, it simply means that we have to study the Bible, we have to learn the truths of your word, and then we have to metabolize these truths, let them become a part of us, and then utilize these truths as we live each day. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll look with me, please, at James chapter 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Verse 15, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. We've already analyzed this verse, but looking again at it, it begins with a negative adverb. The first word that is used in this Greek verse is the strong negative adverb, ouk. If you're looking at it on the back of your bulletin or looking at it on the screen, you're able to see that it is O-U-K, ouk. That is a strong negative adverb. There are various negative adverbs in the Koine Greek. One of those is the Greek word may, which is normally used with sentences where the verbs are used in the subjunctive mood. That's not the way this one is. We have three other negative adverbs. This is one of them, up, which is a strong negative adverb. It is used, as you can see, with a verb in the indicative mood, the mood of reality. We have emphasized in the previous verse that a person is without understanding and not very wise. If they're bitter in life, if they're filled with jealousy, if they're filled with self-ambition, if they're arrogant, and if they're lying against the truth. All of those things are presented to us in the previous verses. This verse says, this kind of wisdom is not, strong negative adverb, it's not coming down from God. It's not coming down from above. And you'll notice that the word is there is a present active indicative, third person singular, of I'm, the little verb of being. The word coming down, as you can see, is the present middle participle, nominative feminine singular, of kat erkamai. Interesting enough, when we study the word kat erkamai, erkamai is a word which means to go from the original language. Kat means down. So it's translated coming down. And what I notice here, and I've already mentioned this, but I repeat, that is that this is a middle voice in the original language which says, if it's positive, the person is benefited thereby. If it's negative, the person is not benefited thereby. This, of course, is a negative emphasis, so it's saying that the kind of wisdom that is presented in the previous verses is not God's wisdom. It is not from God. It's not going to be beneficial at all. If we choose to be bitter in life, if we choose to be emphasizing selfish ambition, if we choose to be arrogant, if we choose to lie against the truth, it's not going to be beneficial. That's what it's saying to us. This kind of thought pattern is not coming down from God. Then we have a conjunction of contrast. It is a word Allah, A-L-L-A. Do you see that word? Allah. But then it's described as from the earth, earthy. Then the words sukikos, or natural, is used there, translated sensual. And then the last word is demon-like. Now, let me take this time to give you some, since you, I know, like to take notes, let me give you some points to take. First of all, let me give you some scriptural designations of the devil. There are scriptural designations of the devil. For instance, in John 8:44, he's described as the liar and the father of lies. That's John 8:44. I'm going to give you six descriptions here if you want to take these. John 8:44 is the first one. He's a liar and the father of it. The second one, the scripture describes Satan as the prince of this world in John 14:30. John 14:30, the prince of this world. The third definition and description, designation of Satan, is he's described as the God, little G-O-D, of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. May I remind you that the Apostle Paul is the man whom God used to write 1 and 2 Corinthians, along with other books, of course. And in the writings of the book of Corinthians, we will discover that the Corinthian believers had a lot of problems. Man, they were mixed up in a lot of different areas. They were mixed up in relationship to the particular gift of tongues, of the gift of healing, healers. They were just mixed up on a lot of different things. And I think that the Apostle Paul, if we could say it, perhaps was a little bit frustrated. When he got through with the first letter, he said, well, don't think I'm through yet, so I'll write a second one. That's just my putting it in my own words, being a little bit on the humorous side. But basically what happened here was the Spirit of God had some words to say. One of the things related to the man who was taken in incest that's described in the first book, 1 Corinthians. And people had all kinds of ideas about him. There was no doubt about the fact that he was in the wrong bailiwick. He was traveling down the wrong road. And but something happened to him, and he had some changes in his heart and mind and soul. And so the Apostle Paul comes on in the second book and tells the church to have a good attitude toward him and receive him back into the fellowship. That tells me something. That lets me know that you and I, when we see people fall and get out of God's plan, we are to love them and care for them and not be critical and overly harsh toward them. I'm not going to charge you any extra for that. I just wanted you to know that we should have a Christian attitude toward individuals, even though we may or may not be agreeing with what their life and their conduct is. So, number three, Satan is described as the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Number four, he's described as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is working in the children of disobedience. That's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Number four, that's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is working in the children of disobedience. Number five, in 1 Peter 5:8, Satan is described as the adversary. In 1 Peter 5:8, that's another designation of the devil. And number six and the last one is Revelation 20, verse 2. He's described in Revelation 20, verse 2, as the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. It's interesting to see the many different words that are used to describe Satan. Now, so much for that. I gave you 6 points on the designations of the devil. I repeat, John 8:44. John 14:30, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Ephesians 2:2, 1 Peter 5:8, Revelation 20:2. He's a liar, the father of it, the prince of the world, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is working in the children of disobedience, adversary, dragon, serpent, the devil, Satan. I'm glad you have all of that. Now, let me tell you that we have 10 points. I'm going to go slowly, I think. I can't promise you that. I'm going to go slowly, I think, so that you can get these. We're going to be dealing now with the works or the characteristics of the devil. The first one is, Satan is an enemy of God, and he's an enemy of God's children. Please, please be aware that Satan is an enemy of God and an enemy of God's children. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesian believers in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rule of this darkness." Satan is in the business of eclipsing our soul, putting our souls into eclipse. You just put it down that Satan is and has the spirit of darkness. He does not want us to walk in the light. He wants us to walk in darkness. And so Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the world rule of this darkness." This tells me again that Satan is a mighty enemy of God and an enemy of God's children. What I need for you to know is that when you're on God's side, you're on the winning side, on the victorious side. Oh, it looks bad at times. Sometimes when we are facing the distractions of life and the sins that are confronting us on a daily basis, when we find our minds so enamored and captivated by the sins of the flesh, oh, we think sometimes he's totally in charge. But I promise you, he is not going to be the lasting winner. You and I on God's side are on the winning side. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against powers, against principalities, against the world rule of this darkness, but we're on the winning side when we're on God's side, even though Satan is a mighty enemy of God and the enemy of God's children. Number two, Satan and his cohorts constitute a powerful host. Satan and his cohorts constitute a powerful host. In other words, we discover that Satan is called the chief of the devils. The chief of the devils, whose number is legion in Luke 8:30. There's no question in our minds that Luke 11:15 and Luke 8:30 tells us that Satan and his fallen angels, his cohorts, constitute a powerful host. That's revealed in Luke 11:15. It's revealed in Luke chapter 8, verse 30. Let me give you number three now. Satan is remarkably shrewd and cunning. He is shrewd and cunning. We find this in Revelation 12:9. The scripture says there, he is the one who deceives, if possible, the whole world. Revelation 12:9. The Apostle Paul is telling us something in 2 Corinthians 11:3. He says, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 11:3. Let me stop on that verse for a moment and let you see something. Paul is warning the Corinthian believers. He says, I'm afraid of something. Just as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Did you notice the words there? It says the minds be corrupted. Minds be corrupted. On the other hand, the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're told not to have the mind of satanic thinking, but have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we discover then that Satan is shrewd and cunning, and he's the one, if possible, who would deceive the whole world. Would you agree that he's having a heyday in deceiving the world? Think about it. Everywhere you look, television, you listen to the radio, you read the newspapers, you watch life, what do you see? Deception on every hand. Deception on every hand. The only way that you and I will be able to determine what is divine and what is human is to be able to see it from a divine perspective, and that is through the mind of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to see through the mind of Jesus Christ if we do not have the mind of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to have the mind of Jesus Christ unless we do what you're doing right now. And that's just study with us. Study with us over and over and over again. Some of you say, well, I've heard about Satan before. Yes, 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 you have. And you're going to hear about it again. You may be tired of Satan, but I am too. That's the reason why we're studying it. We're tired of it. You see what I mean? We're tired. Someone said, I'm just sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's right. And you and I ought to be sick and tired of being deceived. And we ought to have our spiritual detectors tuned by the Word of God, so that we can determine what is divine and what is human when we hear it on the television and see it on the television and hear it on the radio and see it on the radio. I grew up in the days where we watched the radio. What do you think about that, Jack? Are you old enough to remember seeing the radio? I could sit and watch the radio and I could just imagine what was going on. I mean, I could see them running. I could see them shooting. Man, I could see them falling. Don't tell me you can't see on the radio. I could. As that little country boy, man, I could see. All right. We ought to be able to determine by our spiritual detectors what is divine and what is human when we see and hear it. The Scripture says, and I repeat, Satan is shrewd and cunning. He's the one who is seeking to deceive the whole world. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, I repeat, the Apostle Paul says, I'm afraid, lest by so many different means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, so your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered in the field of humanism, people are extremely arrogant. They're smart. And they're proud of being smart. Humanism. And they say, here's God. And you know what? What we've learned and what our intelligence is all about, we're just a little bit above what God's really all about. Now, isn't that brilliant? You know what I call that? Dum-dums. Anyone who would draw that kind of conclusion about the eternal God, something's seriously wrong with them. Don't get me started there, folks. Number four, Satan is a master of disguise. He's a fabricator of counterfeits. He's a master of disguise. It's found in 2 Corinthians 11:13, 14, and 15. Number five, Satan is radically and excessively wicked. Satan is radically and excessively wicked. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Those who commit sins are of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. In general, Satan's supreme effort is directed toward disrupting God's purposes. What is Satan's purpose? It's to disrupt the purposes of God. This will continue until Satan is overthrown. Hebrews 2:14. There's coming a day when the omnipotent Savior will destroy Satan, who has the power of death. That is the devil, the Scripture says. Every born-again believer in this world, as we know, is in a depraved spiritual condition. And Satan's objective is that no one who is unsaved be saved. In other words, he's seeking to blind the minds of the unsaved. If our gospel be hid, the Scripture says, it is hidden to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Number eight, Satan is extremely pleased when he convinces people to be religious and unregenerate. Satan is exceedingly pleased, extremely pleased, when he can convince people to be religious but unregenerate. Number nine, Satan is exorbitantly and extravagantly thrilled when he can get saved people to be legalistic and saturated with energy of the flesh activities. Satan is exorbitantly and extravagantly thrilled when he can get saved people to be legalistic and saturated with energy of the flesh activities. Number 10, Satan knows exactly where to level his attack on you and me. Let me stay there for a moment. Satan knows exactly where to level his attack, or attacks, plural, on us. The Scripture describes him as the tempter in 1 Thessalonians 3:5 and 1 Corinthians 7:5. Satan knows exactly where to attack us. Satan is certainly alert. And he loves to cause trouble, no doubt about it. Satan uses individuals, men oftentimes, and women, as controlling factors. You remember Judas influencing individuals. I put it down in my thinking that Satan is the enemy of the church. Oh, if he can get you and me off on the wrong track, he's going to do it. But let me conclude on this number 10. There's coming a day when Satan's activities will be permanently eliminated. He is active today, but his doom is certain. Could I stay for a few moments there? There's coming a day when Satan's activities will be permanently eliminated. He's active today, but his doom is certain. In the light of this, let me spend just a few moments to give you some concluding remarks. I believe these are very important. I try to put it together and say, what do we need to think about in relationship to Satan and his works and the characteristics? Number one, there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Victory. Do not succumb to the illusion that the devil is a mythological character. Do not succumb to the illusion that the devil is a mythological character. He is a person of power and malice, but there is victory. He is intent on deceiving, deluding, disrupting, debasing, disillusioning, degrading, and destroying. Now, I know you cannot take all those words down, but they are powerful words. Satan is in the business of deceiving, deluding, disrupting, debasing, disillusioning, degrading, destroying. Oh, if we could see that. All of those words, I love words, I love synonyms and antonyms. But I'm seeing synonyms here. He's disrupting, deluding, debasing, disillusioning, degrading, destroying. He will direct his attacks at you and me, at our weak link, whatever the weak link is, or our links are. It's the weak link of our character. It may be pride. It may be lust. It may be lovelessness. It may be lasciviousness. It may be covetousness. It may be asceticism. Have I named anything that bothers you? Well, don't tell it out loud. Don't reveal it. Don't even smile. Just keep a long face. Amen. Okay, let me repeat that since you got it. Do not succumb to the illusion that the devil is a mythological character. He is a person of power and a person of malice. He's intent on deceiving, deluding, disrupting, debasing, disillusioning, degrading, and destroying. He will direct his attacks at you and me at the weak link in our character, whether it be pride or lust or lovelessness or lasciviousness or covetousness, whatever it is. I don't know whether you notice or not, but that's all number one conclusion. I only have three. Number two, you and I must remember that it is God who gives victory, but that in our own strength, we're totally unable to conquer such a strong adversary. Please don't ever depend upon your own strength for victory. We've got to tell ourselves over and over again, if there's going to be victory in our lives, it has to come through the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We're not going to have it otherwise. And number three, accept the fact that God has made provision for our victory. Accept the fact that God has made the provision for our victory. Would you do me a favor? Under this number 3, let me give you some verses. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 4. You remember in that chapter, Matthew chapter 4, that Satan tempted our Lord over and over again. I'm not going to go into all the detail there, only to tell you that every time Satan tempted the Lord, he would say to Satan, "It is written. It is written. It is written." Now I need to tell you what that is in the original text. Because of how powerful it is, our Lord used the scripture. And he says to Satan, there's not going to be any victory in any other way than by the fact of the Word of God. It has been written in the past. The results have been consummated in the past. And the result of that consummated truth continues to this very present moment. What I've just done for you is to give you page after page of information on how that verb is used there. It's been written in the past. It's been consummated in the past. And the results of that consummation continues to this moment and will continue right on. And our Lord says, if you're going to have victory as a believer, you're going to have to do what I did. Utilize the truth. Utilize the truth. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's Matthew chapter 4. Man shall not live by bread alone. Ephesians 6. Use the spiritual armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Matthew 26:41. Accept His strength. I find this passage so unique. It says, He has beaten out for you and me on the anvil of His purpose our one offensive weapon, the Word of God. Learn to wield it effectively. Can you see how powerful that is? Accept His strength. He has beaten out for you and me on the anvil of His purposes our one offensive weapon, the Word of God. Learn to wield it effectively. Wow! He has beaten out for you and me on the anvil of His purposes our one and only offensive weapon. We've got it. Learn to use it. Resist the devil. James 4:7, and he will flee from you. Successful resistance is possible. What precedes this, resist the devil and he will flee from you, is submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God and he will flee from you. Oh, we quote that last verse, part of the verse, over and over again. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But what does it say first? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Only Spirit-filled, Bible-saturated souls may expect overcoming victory and overcoming strength. Man, I enjoyed that. That was a good page, wasn't it? Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the victory that we have in the power of the Word of God, in the power of the Spirit of God. We know that there is joy and confidence and victory, triumph provided for us. Help us not to be weak, disgruntled, disillusioned believers. Help us to determine that we're going to allow the Spirit of God and the thinking of Jesus Christ to saturate us so that we can enjoy a real, bountiful, beautiful, magnificent, successful, triumphant life. Thank you for ever wonderful provision And we pray for those who hear this message now, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. May they know that when God loved, He loved the world. And that when Christ died, He died for everyone. And that if anyone will accept you and believe, we know that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. We pray that there will be those even now who will trust you as their own personal Lord and Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Like the grass withers and fades away. All flesh is like the grass withers and fades away. The glory of man, like a flower that shrivels in the sun and falls. The glory of man, like a flower that shrivels in the sun and falls. But the word of the Lord the word.